This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
A program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop here. This week's historic opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem sealed the Trump administration's recognition of the Holy City as the capital of Israel. I was lucky enough to be there, so here's my inside look.
This is a distinct honor.
At the embassy in Jerusalem, and I'm finding my two favorite people, Charlie Kirk and Candace Owen. All right, so what do you have to say? You guys are the ones who are good with words.
It was unbelievably historic. It took an amazing amount of courage for the president to do this, and look, he does what he said he's going to do.
Absolutely. It was tremendous, and you could feel the energy in the room. You could feel the excitement. You could feel the love for Trump. Just as soon as his name gets said, people are standing up and applauding, and we're so blessed to have been here to witness that.
I'm thrilled to be here today. This is two great democracies, two great countries. I love them both. And this is a day that says we're partners. We're partners not out of convenience, but out of conscience. We share the values. Democracy, rule of law, opportunity, the Judeo-Christian tradition.
Indeed.
And for me personally, I was privileged to be one of the leaders that fought to pass the Jerusalem Embassy Relocation Act in 1995. And Lord, it's now
23 years later. What do you have to say about today?
First of all, I want to thank President Trump. This would not be happening without President Trump. Everybody made promises about this, America recognizing this as the capital, moving our embassy, and nobody did it. He said he would do it, and he did it. And look how painless it is.
Why are you here?
Why am I here?
Yeah, you're on camera right now.
I'm here because of this amazing day. Trump came through on his promise, something that was promised since 1995 by Congress, enacted it. And he actually made it come true. It's an amazing day.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your religion is.
No.
Whether you're Christian, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Muslim, even if you're an agnostic, you come here and you feel it's God's country.
And you're welcome. No matter what. Everybody's welcome. And that's the amazing thing. The Israeli military is protecting every religious site in this country, Muslim, Christian, Jewish.
And the Israeli hospitals take care of everyone.
Everybody.
Muslim, Christian, Jewish.
This is the capital of Israel.
Here we are.
And America is now leading the charge internationally in recognizing that. Look, America needs to be a leader in the world, and the president realizes and understands that.
I'll say it as still a registered Democrat, to an independent-minded one. Thank you, President Trump.
Well, this is not Judge Jeanine's, her reporting. There she was to be able to experience firsthand right there the move and the official acknowledgement of the United States in moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and recognizing that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. I'll tell you, you can't help. I understand there are people with differing viewpoints, but for something that has been a long time coming, say what you want to about this president. The bottom line is he has a bottom line. I mean, you talk about the buck stopping with him. I mean, he said it, he promised it, he's following up on it. And yes, it's easy to say, well, there's so many other promises. You know, what happened to the wall? What happened to, Obamacare and that? But that hasn't stopped him from fighting about it. He also said he would be a jobs president. Look what's going on with jobs, 3.9%, the lowest since, almost two decades. Incredible what he has been able to do in spite of the resistance, in spite of everybody trying to be critical. The media, 9 out of 10 reports against this president. No wonder the perception is such, but he fights it back, in terms of calling out fake news for what it is. Meanwhile, the president is seeking to turn the tables on the Obama administration after demanding a probe into whether his predecessor's FBI infiltrated his 2016 campaign, pointedly asking what then President Barack Obama knew about the operation while clashing with former CIA boss John Brennan. Details to keep coming, you know that's going to happen. Stay with us. We've got more coming up.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Roll. That's our focus, ladies and gentlemen, because we want to be target focused. We don't want to be off track. We've been off track long enough, huh? 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Sam Kleiner joins us now, historian and lawyer based in New York City, holds a doctorate in international relations from the University of Oxford in England, where he was a Marshall Scholar and a JD from Yale Law School. Sam's interest in World War II started when he was a kid and would listen to stories from his grandfather, who was a navigator on a B-25 in the Pacific during World War II. Sam, what incredible stories you must have heard at the feet of your grandfather.
Thank you so much for having me on, Bill. Absolutely. You know, I am a big fan of The Greatest Generation. I think mm-hmm. the book I'm telling here is really one of the great untold stories from The Greatest Generation. And it's someone who, you know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. As someone who grew up kind of listening to stories from my grandfather, and then over the past couple of years, getting to spend time with the last few surviving Flying Tigers, and there's now actually just one. It's really the gift of a lifetime to be able to bring this story to life. And was just down in Columbus, Georgia, a couple of weeks ago, where the last surviving Flying Tiger lives. His name's Frank Lozonski. He was a mechanic in the unit. And I got to give him the finished book, and it just gave me such a sense of satisfaction to be able to assure him that this story was being preserved for future generations.
We're talking about Sam's brand new book, The Flying Tigers, the untold story of the American pilots who waged a secret war against Japan. Sam, wow, I mean, this is so incredible. I envy you. My father was a World War II vet, medic in the European theater with George Patton, and there were so many stories that were yet to be told, but whatever we could capture, we held on to. I'm sure as you did the same with your grandfather.
Yes, and my grandfather is still living, so it's wonderful to be able to have him here for the book launch. Both of them actually are still living. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, there are so many great untold stories from that era. And I think that this is one of the, I was fortunate to find one that was just truly in a league of its own in terms of just how fascinating it was. The story about the Flying Tigers, and I think a lot of listeners might be familiar with the image of the shark-faced P-40 or have seen the John Wayne movie, The Flying Tigers. Mm-hmm. Or even the later TV show about Patty Boyington, who became a very famous pilot, Bob Blacksheep. You know, we don't realize, you know, the human stories that are behind these planes and the real story. That was what I wanted to capture. And so I spent the past couple of years going and talking to families of these survivors and tracking down long lost letters, diaries, a whole trove of combat reports that I found in a basement in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. That helped to really tell the story of, you know, who were these young men and in some cases women, and what was it like to really be there and be a flying tiger. And I think that's what the reader gets with this book.
How did you run into this story?
And I'd always had a bit of familiarity with the story, but I've always been really fascinated by this period in American history. And so really this emerges not out of World War II per se, but out of the period right beforehand, where you have this massive debate in the U.S. over wars that are raging and across the Atlantic and across the Pacific, and a very isolationist country that's uncomfortable with the idea of committing ourselves to another world war. Mm-hmm. And the Roosevelt administration is trying to thread the needle on that. And so we're sending over a lot of aid to Great Britain. And in the context of China, which had already been at war with Japan since 1937, there was a program set up, as the book talks about, in secret, to send over American planes and American pilots to fly them to help defend the Chinese against the overwhelming Japanese assault that had been going on for years. And that's where Claire Chennault, who later becomes a very famous general, kind of comes from. And then these guys have their first battle on December 20th, 1941, over the city of Kunming, China. And just think about it, that's 2 weeks after Pearl Harbor. And it's really the first American battle against the Japanese after Pearl Harbor, where we have a victory. Mm-hmm. And that becomes just sensational news back in the U.S. It's on the front of all the papers, the talk of all the radio. And, you know, that's just a story that's been forgotten. And this is really a small band of brothers that were basically behind enemy lines when the war broke out. And they overnight became heroes. But I really wanted to tell their individual stories, you know, who these guys were, where they came from. And so many of them are just wonderfully fascinating people.
Well, let's get into the individual stories, Samuel. Go ahead and, you know, take a shot at your first the first highlight here.
Well, the first story that I really came across, actually, was when I was at Yale. I found this trove of papers that were from a nurse who had been in the unit. Her name was Emma Foster, and she'd studied abroad in China before World War II, and then joined this unit because she fell in love with China and wanted to go back. Mm-hmm. And the papers are her love letters with one of the pilots. His name was John Petak. He's from outside New York City and gone to NYU. It was a very young pilot. Mm-hmm. And the letters chronicled their romance as they were in the Flying Tigers. And then when the war broke out, they were divided between two different cities, and they'd write back and forth to each other. And it's just so remarkable, something, you know, that in some senses was so ordinary, but in such extraordinary circumstances. And John tragically was killed in the final battle, the Flying Tigers fought in July of 42. And so that's what really set me off to try and find these individual stories. And so many of them became, you know, you become kind of emotionally invested in them. A young guy from Iowa, Bill Reed, whose diary I worked with, you know, had talks in his diary about crossing the Pacific Ocean, and they had these false passports to disguise the identity of the mission, saying, you know, this is the first time I've been on a body of water bigger than a lake. You know, so for most of these guys, children of the Great Depression, they hadn't really seen much of the world. And this was just a huge adventure that they were signed up for because they wanted to see more of the world, the chance to see some action and to do something different with their lives.
Can you imagine what that did, you know, to their perspective? I mean, as he writes, you know, the biggest body of water was a lake. Now he's over the Pacific Ocean. And, you know, the call of the adventure, wartime, everything that's going on. Wow. The stories that, you know, probably will get lost along the way, you know, maybe sadly. But yet, thank God you were able to catch and capture, you know, some of them here regarding the Flying Tiger, Sam.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was just great to be able to, and I think really working through these diaries and letters, you're able to really be there with them. So it's not just, you know, the recollections of, wonderful recollections of, you know, these old men, but it's really getting deep into what they were going through and these combat reports that I found. And because they weren't part of the Army Air Corps, those daily reports didn't end up in the National Archives, but instead were basically stowed away in a basement. We're able to work through those and really tell you what it was like to be there in combat, facing the Japanese on a day-to-day level, right at the beginning of the war. And these guys became hugely famous because of that. And I wanted to bring that back for a new generation.
Samuel Kleiner is with us. We've got to go to break. We're talking about his brand new book, The Flying Tigers, The Untold Story of the American Pilots Who Waged the Secret War.
I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activate nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutriMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com, or call our order line 888-212-8871.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Color here. We just love America. Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's Wade Likens, fresh every day and independent, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, our visit with Samuel Kleiner continues. We're talking about his brand new book, The Flying Tigers, The Untold Story of the American Pilots Who Waged a Secret War Against Japan. Some of these stories, this is just so fascinating, and I could only hope, Sam, that the schools across the country are relating this from your book. I mean, you tell the story of the young American men and women who crossed the Pacific before Pearl Harbor to risk their lives defending the embattled forces of Chiang Kai-shek, China. At least 300 individuals were effectively paid mercenaries, secretly recruited by a mysterious shell company that the United States government had created to circumvent its official stance of non-intervention in the war. Boy, I'll tell you, you talk about adventure and drama and everything all on the heels of, the country's attack that we were subjected to at the hands of the Japanese. And some Americans, I would say, Sam, did not even realize that we saved China's bacon here, didn't we not?
Absolutely. Well, and I think that, you know, when we generally think of World War II, we think of places like the landings in D-Day in Normandy, or we think of the flag raising in Iwo Jima. But we don't think of China. And I think that there was a really important alliance between the U.S. and China during World War II. China's been called the forgotten ally. And I think it's important that we remember that alliance. And even today, when, you know, China's in the news so much for all these different kind of back and forth between our countries, mm-hmm. it's important that we keep that in mind, that, there was a real sense of cooperation. You talk to the guys from the unit. I talked to Frank Lozansky, who is the crew chief, who's the last surviving Flying Tiger. Mm-hmm. And he will not stop talking about how much he loved working with the Chinese mechanics who were helping to keep these planes flying. And so there was a kind of personal relationship also between Americans and Chinese during this war. And I think that it's important for Americans to know more about that theater of war, which so often gets overlooked in kind of the cursory look we give at World War II in textbooks and in classrooms. And there's just such fascinating characters in the middle of the story. The story really focuses on Claire Chennault, became quite famous, but he's really just originally was a stunt pilot from the backwoods of Louisiana, and mm-hmm. he had a lot of problems with his superiors in the U.S. Army. So he left the U.S. Army Air Corps around 1937, and goes over to China. He leaves behind his wife and seven children, writing to his brother in a letter that I want to see a chance to make history. And he believes that he'll have that chance in China to start over. And he starts to fight with a number of Americans in this combat against the Japanese, going back as far as 1937, 4 years before Pearl Harbor, when Japan invaded China. And it's just a great adventure story of how he then starts to, working with Chinese officials and eventually American officials, builds out this idea for sending over secretly American planes and American pilots to fly them to China. And so these guys are, basically sitting at bars on bases around the country in 1941 before Pearl Harbor. And someone will come up to them and say, how would you like to go on this adventure to the Far East?
Right.
And for guys who are looking to do something, that sounded like a great idea.
Mm-hmm. But for General Chennault, he's not there. He doesn't have the vision. This doesn't happen.
Absolutely. And it's just kind of a great testament to how someone, one person can really play an important role in shaping history. Mm-hmm. And also how one person's life can just, it's something I think about with Chennault, is how one person's life can be completely reshaped by something as simple as one day he's at an air show in 1935 in Miami, flying his stunts, and he comes down, and afterwards a Chinese military official approaches him and says, we'd really like you to come to China. And it takes him a while to make that decision, but he ultimately comes around to that. And he had really never left the country before that, and picks up and goes to China. And for so many of the guys in the unit, they had hardly left the country before. And one thing that really stands out about this unit is, so many of these guys, you've got guys who, had very elite backgrounds, wealthy backgrounds, went to schools like NYU or Princeton or Yale. Mm-hmm. Also guys who were, mechanics who had, come from very hard-scrabble backgrounds during the Great Depression. Maybe they'd graduated high school, maybe not. And, you know, they all worked together to accomplish this common purpose because they were so far behind enemy lines. They had no reinforcements coming. They only had 100 planes. So whenever a plane went down, they'd kind of use up its parts to keep the other plane flying. And they worked with that commonality of purpose. And I think that's an important legacy for us to keep in mind in a very divided country today.
Well, when you think about their unique position, I mean, it's almost miraculous that they were there. The general, Claire Chennault, had this sixth sense that he was drawn to history. So he puts himself in a position. He draws these other pilots, the support team, to come there. And as you write about in the book, I mean, here is this band of Flying Tigers, this small strategic group, but they played a key role in keeping the Japanese at bay from the United States to kind of get, you know, kind of get their head on straight after being attacked in World War II. I mean, and to realize, you know, the president of the United States had to realize that, whoa, we're going to war. We've done everything we can to stay out of it. Now we are going to war with the Japanese. And meanwhile, our Pacific fleet has been devastated. Now, what do we do about it? And this gave some needed pause and time to think about what to do strategically, you know, because the Flying Tigers were in the position that they were in.
Absolutely. And most Americans don't realize this, but in December 1941, you not only have the devastating attack on Pearl Harbor, but a whole series of losses across the Pacific, Wake Island, the British lose Hong Kong and Singapore. And there was a real fear of an invasion of the West Coast, blackouts in San Francisco, up and down the coast, and a real sense of, you know, are we actually going to be able to win this two-front war? This is, you know, America had the 18th largest military at the time, not a particularly imposing force. And Americans needed a real morale boost. And along come the Flying Tigers, and seemingly miraculously start to score these victories against the Japanese. Their first battle is December 20th, 1941, so less than 2 weeks after Pearl Harbor. And they shoot down a number of Japanese bombers over Kunming, China, where the Japanese have been bombing for years. And Americans can't really point to Kunming on a map, but they understand the importance of this victory. And this really becomes front page news, helping to boost American morale in the early days of the war. Hollywood rushes out this movie, The Flying Tigers, starring John Wayne, kind of loosely based around Claire Chennault. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not an accurate depiction at all of the story, but it helps to boost American morale. And that's a really important point that I think most Americans don't realize about those early days of the war. And the Flying Tigers were really there to help inspire their countrymen.
Well, Samuel Kleiner, congratulations on the book, The Flying Tigers. Boy, this is rather engaging. I mean, well-researched. You're getting all the accolades that you deserve on this, and the book, of course, available at all the usual places. Bottom line, Sam, what do you want the readers to take away from The Flying Tigers, the untold story of the American pilots who waged a secret war against Japan? What do you want the reader to get away from this, get out of this?
It's one of the great untold stories from the greatest generation. It's important for us to remember that legacy.
Well, just like that, Samuel Kleiner, the author of this new book, The Flying Tigers, lots of history, especially for your history buffs. This is a real page-turner. It is engaging. And as I mentioned, the book is available at all the usual places, and we will link it on our website at Bill Martinez Live. Sam Kleiner, historian and lawyer based out of New York City. And we thank you, Sam, for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest
lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez, live.
Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. Cause I'm never gonna leave you. Always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good, fighting the good.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Well, whether we're free or not, we're all destined to die. And we're going to talk about end-of-life decisions that are so important and so necessary. For some reason, we may want to, avoid that discussion or even, wince a bit. But there are so many things that you need to be aware of. I mean, look at when you come to that point in your life, do you want to make sure that things are handled in a way that you would want them to do while you're of a clear mind? Or do you want somebody else making those decisions for you? There is so much to consider here. And I appreciate Hattie Bryant coming back on with us, because I want to maintain this conversation. I think it's so important. I mean, personally, I've been going through a couple of recent deaths with the passing of my mom in the end of January. He was 93. My brother, and Hattie is not aware of this, but my brother just passed away, my oldest brother, 2 weeks ago. And with their passing, and even with my father's passing 14 years before, it is speaking loud and clear, hopefully, to the members of my family. We were 9 kids in our family, now 8. And I have referenced Hattie Bryant's book, I'll Have It My Way. She has been doing a series on PBS, I'll Have It My Way, Taking Control of End-of-Life Decisions. And these are practical things, maybe, considerations that you try to avoid. Say, oh, I really just don't want to talk about it. But let me tell you, if you don't, you're going to find yourself in a position that is going to cause you to regret not having that conversation sooner and making the choices and decisions sooner than later. Hattie Bryant, as always, good to have you with us. Thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you, Bill, and I'm sorry to hear about your brother's passing. I know your heart's broken and so many people's hearts are sad. Did he have some good pre-planning in place?
I mean, right off the bat, I mean, he had some. And, you know, there were some, you know, things that were really, really difficult. And it's interesting because he was in another state. And every state differs, right, in some of the things like
that. Well, yes. Let me just jump in and say we don't have to make it that complicated, Bill, because, yes, there are documents that every state in the country considers to be these are our legal documents. But those are just guidelines, okay? Anybody, you can use my book. At the back of my book, you invite someone to witness what you wrote, and it becomes legal. You don't have to go to an attorney to do the kinds of things I teach people to do, but you do have, I say this, you don't have to spend money on an attorney, but you do have to spend some time. And this is what you alluded to in your introduction. Most people avoid it. I'm so sorry. Most people avoid it, and so they pretend it's not going to happen. Therefore, when we come close, we're in trouble. So...
Yeah, and the thing is, it gets more complicated when you've got siblings or you have a spouse or somebody else making decisions that you could have made, you know, decades earlier when you were of a clear and sound mind.
Absolutely. Here's what I want everyone listening to this broadcast to memorize. You choose now how you want the last few years, months, weeks, days of your life to unfold, or others will choose for you. And so as a baby boomer, and I know I'm speaking to baby boomers and those older, you know, the older,
right.
But we're as Americans, we're used to getting our way. We're used to making choices. We're used to going to a restaurant and having 10 choices. I am telling you that if you don't choose now, other people will choose for you. So if you want it to be the way you want it to be, thus the name of my book, I'll Have It My Way. And I'm not saying this is a selfish title. This is really a gift you
it really is
to everyone you love, because they don't have to second guess. Nobody has to wonder, what is Aunt Hattie going to, what does she want if she lands in the ICU? What does she want if 911 is called and she gets picked up? Everybody in my family knows exactly what I want. Of course, now there are about 100,000 copies of the book out there, and my directive is in the book. But even before that, I told about 75 people all these instructions.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
And
I don't know what's tickling my throat.
Well, but what you say, you know, in terms of it being a gift, it's like the chaplain and the doctor when my mother was passing, and it was really hard for my sisters to understand. And, you know, and we had to increase our understanding of what DNR meant. And it meant that she wasn't going to be given any sustenance. There was no food involved. And she had suffered a stroke. She couldn't swallow. And so there was not going to be any intervention to give her food. Well, this was very difficult for my sisters to accept. In fact, I was attacked. I'm, you know, being the executor and the trustee of the estate, but even before it wasn't even then. But I seemed to be the point person, and the family members were coming to me saying, "Don't you realize you are starving her to death?" And I said,
No. That is not. Here's what I want everybody to get. Bill was not the bad guy. Bill was allowing his mother to have what's called a natural, gentle passing. If she can't swallow, here's what I want everyone to get. Just because we have modern medicine, and modern medicine can cut a, punch a hole in our stomachs and stick food in our stomach, that's not natural. So if her mother, if his mother had said, "I want a natural passing," then Bill is exactly right. Her body was naturally shutting down. Same with my mom, and my mom's story is in the book. She couldn't swallow. They put a feeding tube in without asking us. She didn't want that. She wanted a natural passing. All right. So here's what I want everybody to get. Our bodies break down. We are machines. When key parts break, we die. Now, when they start to break down, A massive heart attack and a massive stroke can take us out instantly. And, of course, everybody wants that. Or I do. You know, I want to live fully all the way to the end and then drop dead, right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
but
exactly.
Because of modern medicine, that doesn't happen for most of us because we get 911 gets called, we get propped up. All right. So coming back to what is natural, what is it that our body should be allowed to do for itself and to stop all these interventions? In the back of my book, the workbook that you work through, I ask you some questions. For example, you say, yes, no, is it important for me to be able to chew and swallow food? Yes, no. Is it important for me to be able to know when I am hungry? Yes, no. So if your mom would have checked, yes, it's important to those two, then you could have stood up to your sisters and said, this is exactly what mom said she wanted, a natural passing.
Right.
And so the tool I created is unlike any advanced directive in the marketplace because the marketplace advanced directives were created by attorneys. And maybe I said this to you before, but it's worth hearing again. Attorneys read and write in Latin. Doctors read and write in Greek. And the doctors do not read the legal documents the way the legal people write them. So we have to write in English and present how we want our life to unfold at the very end in a very clear way. So what happened to Bill is he had a sense of what his mom wanted, and he had to stand strong. If Bill, had not had the character, the personality that you have, you probably would have capitulated.
Right.
And the feeding tube would have been put in. Your mother could have been sent to a nursing home. Ariel Sharon lived that way after, you remember the Prime Minister of
Israel? Right, exactly, of Israel. Right.
He lived that way for 8 years on what I call a mattress grave.
Yes.
Because he had made a stroke just like your mom, fed with feeding tubes, was treated for bed sores, and he was comatose. 8 years. And this is because his sons would not allow him to have a natural passing.
Wow.
And so it took 8 years for him to be let go, for him to just finally. But here's the thing. Modern medicine is fantastic until it isn't anymore.
Exactly.
And
you get to that point
so
of diminishing returns without a doubt. Hattie, we got to go to break. We'll pick it up when we come back right there. Hattie Bryant is our guest. We're talking about having it your way, end-of-life decisions. This is Bill Martinez at 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
This is Dan Perkins for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. In many parts of the country, it's starting to get cooler, and some areas have already had a significant amount of snow. Perhaps where you live, rapid changes in temperatures, highs and lows, can make you susceptible to getting a cold or even the flu. One of the places veterans have forgotten about for getting their flu shots is the Veterans Administration. So here's your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Go to the VA.gov website and find your closest community health care center. Give them a call and see if they're giving flu shots now. And if not, find out when they're going to start. Ask about what days and times they will administer the shots and the best time for you to come. And by the way, while you're on the phone with them, ask them about pneumonia shots. Get your shots now and avoid the long lines during flu season standing in front of all those sick people. This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding.
Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Take control of your water with the new ProPure Whole House Filtration System. The ProPure Home removes chlorine and up to 220 plus additional contaminants with Pro Max Full Spectrum Filter Technology for truly great tasting, clean, and refreshing water. Order a ProPure Home today and receive a free pre-sediment filter, a $79.95 value. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com for details. Rethink what's in your water.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez, live.
When love broke through, you found me in the darkness, wandering through the desert. I was a homeless fool. Now I'm homelessly devoted. My chains are broken.
Back with you, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. We're talking with the author of I'll Have It My Way, Taking Control of End-of-Life Decisions. Hattie Bryant joins us. Hattie, as I was, as we've been sharing, about my mother, we talked about your mom and my brother, especially. Here we are, we're going through things, and just seeing, I don't know if I told you this, but everything was kind of like rather fluid. I mean, even his DNR. I mean, he didn't have a DNR bracelet in the previous 5.5 months. I'd been to Colorado a couple of times to visit him. But when it got down to a situation where he was in the hospital, where he finally passed about a week prior, then suddenly the DNR is on his wrist. And I'm going, how come that wasn't on before?
Okay, now you're getting into, in my view, a lot of healthcare deception, and it's about the money. And let me give you a piece of data. In America, we will spend $170 billion on the last 6 months. Medicare will spend $170 billion on the last 6 months of our lives, and in 6 months, we're still dead. Mm-hmm. So people say, I don't want machines, I don't want to be kept alive, I don't want extreme measures, but then when a time comes, a family member, or family members in your case, have a huge family, there's pressure, do everything. And so the money is a horrible indicator that we're asking for a sweet, peaceful passing, but then when we get close to it, we demand everything, and everything is very expensive. It doesn't cost $170 billion to give us a sweet, pain-free passing. We will not, in this 21st century, no one will get in this country, a rich country, a peaceful death out of the natural flow of the decisions that are made by healthcare. They can't help themselves, Bill. They're hooked on what they do. They love what they do. They charge a lot of money for what they do. We don't have enough skin in the game because Medicare is picking up a lot of this tab, although a lot of people go bankrupt trying to keep their family member alive. I get that, but there's a piece of it that I don't want to focus on money. Money is just a way for me to know. mm-hmm. that people are demanding extraordinary, excessive measures that will not keep them healthy. They won't go home. They won't be happy. They won't be pain-free. They won't be, anyway, you see what I'm saying? So we have to take the bull by the horn. It's like a consumer ad. I am a consumer advocate, meaning healthcare is not going to tell you how to get a peaceful death. They don't make money doing that. They That's make right. money doing all that other stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the two pieces of chapter 3 and 4 of my book are the key ingredients to getting a peaceful passing. And chapter 3 talks about how you ask for what you want. The point is, when you get a difficult diagnosis, Bill, it's almost impossible, and the data is in my book. There are 308 footnotes in my book, so you can dig into all my research. It's all there. Doctors do not tell us the truth when they deliver a difficult diagnosis. They spin it positively. They can't bring themselves to tell us the truth, or they think we can't understand it or hear the truth. So I teach you to ask some questions like, well, Dr. Bill, will I be alive? Do you think I'll be alive a year from now, 2 years from now?
Yeah.
And get the answers, because you need choices. Here's my point.
Is it a legal lawsuit concern for doctors that they have to be real careful about what they say too? So that we've got that dynamic coming into play, right?
Now, yes, absolutely. There's a huge, I can't remember the number is now, and I don't have it today this year, but defensive medicine is costing us billions. They have to buy insurance to protect themselves against people that might sue them for not doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why, when you use the back of my book, and let's tell people to go to my website, I'llHaveItMyWay.com. You can get my book there. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. There's a workbook in the back. You fill that in. It, you know, it's a really inexpensive way for you to provide instruction to your physician, your family, your friends. And you will be your physician's favorite patient. When
exactly.
you tell them how you want to be taken care of, they don't want to bring up the topic. They don't want to talk about the fact that you're going to die someday. And so I want to teach everyone who's listening, you have to bring it up in order to get what you want. Yes, they're going to do things to you to protect themselves legally. There's a huge cost. It's called defensive medicine. So you cut right through that by saying, when I am in these conditions, I want no 911. I have a DNH. Do not hospitalize. That's way beyond do not resuscitate. Do not hospitalize means if I am in this situation, I'll give you an example. If I can't swallow, if I can't toilet myself, if I can't recognize people that I know, if I can't walk to my mailbox, DNH, do not call 911. I'm done. I don't want to live anymore. Now, Bill, if you're my proxy and you know that Hattie, your friend Hattie, can no longer swallow, can you see that with your own eyes? You, my friend, you come to my house and, gee, she can't swallow.
Right.
Can you see that with your own eyes?
Sure.
Do you have to take me to the doctor to get a test, whether to take me to the hospital or not? No, because I put it in writing. You know who you call when I'm in duress? You call hospice. You don't call 911. Because I've already reached the point, and let me give you an example. You know the famous the rock and roll guy, Greg Allman?
Yes.
Anybody listening, you know, he was married to Cher. He had the Allman Brothers Band. He drank a lot, and he had a liver transplant, and then that second liver, the liver transplant, he got tumors in his liver. And the doctor said to him, we could extend your life by using radiation to reduce the size of your tumors. We can't get rid of them, but you could live 6 months, 12 months longer if you let us radiate those tumors. Okay. It's as if Greg Allman had used the back of my book, because I give you a place to write what is important to you. It was important to Greg Allman to be able to sing until the day he died.
Right.
Radiation has huge potential to damage your vocal cords. So because he said, I want to be able to sing, no radiation was given, and he sang every day until he died. He didn't live quite as long, but this is my point. Mm-hmm. How do you want to live your life? So I teach you with my book to provide your proxy and your family and your friends and your physician. This is how I want to live my life. I have to tell you, there are a lot of examples. I interviewed a lot of physicians. And they talk like I'm talking now. For example, how do we know, Dr. Bill, when to move you from curative aggressive care to comfort care. Comfort care is provided at home usually, but it could be in a palliative care bed in a hospital. Depends.
Which we heard from Barbara Bush here recently.
Okay, we did talk about, and you and I talked about that last time. I was a little disappointed in the way the spokesperson mentioned it. She's going to stay home with comfort care. The reason I think so many of us panic when we're around a loved one who's becoming frail and we may panic ourselves and call 911 is because we don't understand that care can come to you. You can have a peaceful, pain-free passing surrounded by your friends and family, but only if you are clear in your instructions. So, you're my doctor. Pretend you're my doctor, Bill. Mm-hmm. Dr. Bill?
Yes.
And, yeah, and my niece calls you and says, well, Dr. Bill, you know, she can't get out the bed to toilet herself. What do we do? And you say, well, you know, her instructions say she wants, that's important to her. So we need to bring palliative medicine into the house. That's what
exactly.
We need to do.
Right.
We don't need to take her to the hospital. Do not call 911. Do not go to the hospital. It's the worst place for you to die. But you can't. The thing is, we are set up. Our whole culture is set up to outsource everything we do. We go to restaurants to eat. We send our kids to school to teach so for them to learn how to read and write. And we assume the doctors are going to take care of our death. Doctors do not make end-of-life decisions for us. You do.
Right.
And 85%, and this is in the data in the book, 85% of us will not be able to. Your brother could not make a decision in the condition he was in.
No, he couldn't.
So who was making the decisions? The wife, the sibling standing strong by the bedside, oh, keep him alive, keep him alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if he were floating above the bed and watching the whole situation, he would be screaming out, leave me alone, leave me alone.
Let me go. Yeah, exactly.
Let me go. I'm going to heaven. Now, I'm a Christian, and so this is easy for me.
Right.
I'm ready to go to Jesus. I have no problem with leaving here. I mean, as long as God got me here, I'm going to do what I'm doing, talking to people about this. But if I get in a situation your brother's in, it's not even DNR. DNR, no. It's DNH, do not hospitalize.
Exactly.
The hospital is where you go to get propped up, to live a kind of life you might not want to live.
Mm-hmm. Some people might think, Hattie, that hospice cannot deliver the comfort care as good as a hospital. Clear that up real quick. We got about a minute left.
Okay, I'll clear it up really quickly. You can shop around for hospice services, ask friends, do your due diligence. All of them are not the same. And if the person that you're shopping for, or if you're concerned about your peace, your comfort, you can say you want residence-based hospice. That means you're residential in a hospice bed. It could be in a wing of a hospital, or it could be a standalone residential hospice care unit, which has everything that a hospital has to keep you comfortable. So you can put that in your instructions. I want to be residential in a hospital. I don't want to die at home. You can say that. And they can do it. They have everything you need.
Well, her book, I'll Have It My Way, Taking Control of End-of-Life Decisions, available at all the usual places. You can follow her on the website. Give them your website again, Hattie.
It's illhaveitmyway.com. And you can get the book there, and you can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Amazon. Just get the book and use it, and you'll be your fan. It's the greatest gift you can create for your family, friends, and physician.
Hattie Bryant, thank you so much, Hattie. Appreciate it. God bless.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required.